This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. We'll talk about them ramping it up, how they're trapped in their own insanity, how communists lie about everything all the time, emails, more H-1B insanity in the country, all that and so much more coming up in the second hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. So I mentioned how Democrat politicians at the end of last hour, Walls, Frey, but all of them, Fry, all of them, even if in their heart of hearts they want to moderate on things, they maybe disagree with how demonic the communists are in their party now, they don't have that option. I pointed out J.B. Pritzker. He's going to try to sell the "I'm the moderate Midwest white guy" to the normies if he ends up being the Democrat nominee. He's going to have to try to sell that. J.B. Pritzker is calling to abolish ICE. J.B. Pritzker is trapped. It's a weird way to put it, isn't it? Because he's a governor. He's a billionaire. He should have the courage to say and do what's right. Of course, I agree. You agree. But the truth is, on the left, you are in a prison. There are very, very strict rules on what you're allowed to say, how you say it, the stances you take on the issues. Remember, do you remember Seth Moulton? I'm actually about to play a little audio of Seth Moulton. Hey, Chris, find this if you can, if you don't mind. Seth Moulton, after Trump won in the election, Seth Moulton went on the news, I think it was CNN, and he made the most ridiculously benign statement in the world about dudes playing in women's sports. Now, maybe Seth Moulton got moderate or something like that, but he's probably, as he says this, he's probably just the guy who saw the poll numbers. Here he was. Is this not the most benign thing in the world?
Some Democrats are arguing that Democrats' embrace of trans rights cost them this election. Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton said that the Democratic Party is, quote, out of touch on trans issues and said, quote, "I have two little girls. I don't want them getting run over on a playing field by a male or formerly male athlete. But as a Democrat, I'm supposed to be afraid to say that." What do you make of that argument?
It's wrong. It's hurtful. It's despicable to hear it coming from someone inside of the Democratic establishment.
Seth Moulton apologized. All he said was, I don't think my daughters should get steamrolled on the lacrosse field by someone with a penis. That's all he said. And got crushed to the point he apologized. The communists trap their leaders in a prison. Think about this. Pause for a second. Think about the power of the presidency. Think about the power Donald Trump or any United States president has. Kings from around the globe, they show up and they pay homage to you. With a word, you can crash a company. With a word, you can have people killed. Like that, military operations. You move entire economies. The United States president is without question the most powerful man on the planet. Joe Biden gave a State of the Union speech. Marjorie Taylor Greene, before she lost her mind, she was wearing her Donald Trump hat and started making a nuisance of herself in the crowd. Joe Biden, who didn't have a functional brain, slipped up during that State of the Union and he said the term illegal. Illegal. That's what he said. That's all he said. the most powerful man on planet Earth for saying that word was so bullwhipped by his own demonic base, he had to go on the news and essentially apologize.
During your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lake and Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. I should have, it's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me.
The most powerful man on the planet's in the same prison. They can't get out. It's like a death spiral. Here's that Seth Moulton, the guy. All he said was, please don't beat up my daughters while they play volleyball. Here's him now.
This is what we defeated in Iraq. For right or wrong, this is what American troops, who, by the way, none of us were wearing masks. We weren't afraid. This is what we defeated. State-sponsored terrorists, in this case, under Saddam Hussein. That's where I expected to see this. I never expected to see it on the streets of an American city.
Here's a guy running to be the Attorney General of Ohio. Just listen to this.
This is Elliot Forehand, candidate for Ohio Attorney General. I want to tell you what I mean when I say that I am going to kill Donald Trump. I mean I'm going to obtain a conviction rendered by a jury of his peers at a standard of proof beyond a reasonable doubt, based on evidence presented at a trial conducted in accordance with the requirements of due process, resulting in a sentence duly executed of capital punishment. That is what I mean when I say that I'm going to kill Donald Trump.
Here's the district attorney of Philadelphia.
This is a small bunch of wannabe Nazis. That's what they are. In a country of 350 million, we outnumber them. If we have to hunt you down the way they hunted down Nazis for decades, we will find your identities. We will find you. We will achieve justice.
I don't care how many phone calls you have with them. They don't have the option of moderating. They just don't. I think I've used this analogy multiple times before, but I'll use it again. Think about right now, if I made you are the new mafia boss. You are the don of the Lucchese family in New York City, one of the most powerful mafia families, well, in the country. You're the boss, remember. As the boss of the Lucchese family, you, of course, on top of all the money, you have the power of life and death. For virtually almost anybody. Obviously, you can get to a political level where you shouldn't, but you can walk down the street and not like how I look. All you have to do is point. He needs to go. Boom, gone. That kind of power. But you know what you don't have the power to do? You don't have the power to gather all the capos together, all the captains in your family, you don't have the power to gather them all together and say, guys, no more stealing. In fact, no more crimes at all. We are done committing crime. We're going to go into legitimate businesses. We're just going to sell cars, electronics. We'll do a garbage service, but no more crimes. I don't think you'd live through the day. You probably wouldn't live through the meeting. They'd kill you for that. Democrats today, elected and otherwise, don't have the option to moderate. They're in a prison. Now, they've helped build it, so it's their fault, but they are in a prison. We just have to win. Let's do some emails. Jesse, our pastor said something two weeks ago that made my spidey sense tingle. He's been here about a year and a half, and during that time, he's implemented efforts to grow the church. He's had some reasonable success. However, when reviewing these successes 2 weeks ago, he said the church is still, quote, too white. We are a predominantly white congregation, but there are a number of non-whites, too. As a family member remarked, is he going to be disappointed if the next 100 members are all white? Why are pastors still focused on skin color? Don't ever go back to that church again. You don't have a pastor, you have a communist. He probably has no idea that's what he is. What he is weak. He's been eaten alive by the communist propaganda. He doesn't look out and just see followers and potential followers of Jesus, no matter their skin color. That's how a pastor should look at anything. Right? The idea is to bring people to Christ. He has been broken by the world. He now is a communist more than he's a pastor. To even utter those words tells you everything you need to know. He's certainly, well, I'm not saying he's a bad guy, by the way, but he certainly can't lead. He's too weak to lead. He should leave the pulpit and go sit down with the congregation and find someone who is a leader to lead. He's not able to do it. Your spidey sense told you exactly the right thing. Exactly the right thing. Walk out and never walk back. Email him. Tell him why you did it too. These guys have to hear it. Email him. Tell him why you did it. Now let me tell you something. Widows and orphans, speaking of which, we are not presented with an option on whether or not we should take care of them. We are told to take care of widows and orphans. That's an obligation we have. We do forget about that, though. I know I do. We don't think about fallen first responder families. How often do you think about them? You're sad when you see a headline of a cop getting killed. So am I. You're sad when you, oh, he had a wife and kids. So am I. You're sad for about an hour. Maybe. Then you moved on. Tunnel to Towers is a way we can care for widows and orphans, even when we have moved on. $11 a month. If you sign up to give Tunnel to Towers $11 a month, two things will happen. One, you'll never know it's gone. It's $11. Two, a widow, an orphan, will be cared for. Tunnel to Towers is paying for Gold Star families, fallen first responder families, getting homeless veterans off the streets. You work, the government steals enough of it and sends it to dirt balls. Send $11 to Tunnel to Towers. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. You can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So, all right, so let me get to this one. Jesse, I remember you had Newt Gingrich on your show a number of years ago. What a disappointment he was, he says. I had been a fan of his back during the Tea Party. He came across as establishment as anyone. To hear him now makes my skin crawl. He's probably a decent guy. We can't afford this mentality. Okay, so in case you're wondering why this gentleman is upset with Newt Gingrich, Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, he's making the media rounds, and he said this.
We need a national conversation about what we're going to do about people who've come here, some of them 20 years ago, who've been obeying the law, paying taxes, good neighbors, have kids, go to PTA. Very few Americans want to see the police walk in and pick them up and deport them.
Okay. That is understandably making people on the right very, very, very angry. I understand that. I think that's a ridiculous statement. But that's the Washington, D.C. way. Remember, always remember, that in Washington, D.C., you know, people complain about the uniparty. There aren't two different parties. There's one party. But I'll push back on that. There are huge differences between the party. Yes, Republicans suck and they're cowards and they're useless. Democrats are evil. There are differences. However, when you get into Washington, D.C. itself, the uniparty becomes very, very, very real. And the people who have spent a long time living, working, and worshiping in Washington, D.C., they are so untouched by the mass migration of foreigners into the United States of America. For them, well, It's always just been about making a deal, you see. Let's just make a deal on the whole thing. Why can't we make a deal? I don't understand why we can't make a deal. Okay, Democrats, this is how they think. This is how they think. And I know you're going to be mad. I'm not saying this. I'm explaining how they think. Here's how they think. All right, I'm a Republican. I know that my base, they want illegals deported and they want a big wall. I got all that. That's what we want. Democrats, they want a bunch of new foreigners brought in and no border security. But this is Washington, D.C., man. We'll just get together and we'll come up with a deal. Let's do a deal, shall we? We'll have a little bit of me and a little bit of you, a little bit of what I want and a little bit of what you want. And then in the end, everyone gets a little bit of what they want. It's so naive. It's criminally naive. Have you ever spoken to somebody who's, well, you know what? I have a funny story for you. I'm going to skip out on the names for reasons, but I have a funny story for you. There is this lady my wife knows. It's her story, not me. Lady, she goes, we go to church with, but my wife has a Bible study with this lady. Don't worry, she's not listening. My wife drinks Topo Chico sometimes, that sparkling water. I know, Chris, I don't understand the deal with sparkling water. Just drink normal water. Anyway, wife drinks it. Well, did you know that Topo Chico also makes, is it Topo Chico? Am I saying? Okay, well, whatever. I'm white trash. I went to community college. I'm going to call it Topo Chico now just to make them mad. Topo Chico also makes alcoholic beverages. You know that? My wife is over at this lady's house having Bible study. You with me? She's having Bible study in this older lady's house. Now, this lady's in her 70s. She goes up. She asks the lady, she says, do you have any Topo Chico? Lady says, yeah, I got some. It's in the fridge. Ob goes over to her fridge, pops open the fridge. It's all the alcoholic Topo Chicos in there. And Ob says, hey, Patty, her name wasn't Patty, but she says, hey, Patty, I just wanted the water ones. These are all alcoholic. And I kid you not, Patty looks at her and says, no, they're not. I have one on the way to work every morning. Just life passed her by a little quickly. So criminally behind the times. Old Patty's getting just slobber knockered on the way to work every morning. Has no idea. Man, I had another great day at work today. I felt so loose. That's a true story. The names have been changed to protect the innocent, but that's a true story. You hear some of these older swampy types, and you say to yourself, man alive, do you not understand what time it is? So insulated from the impact foreigners have had on the job market, the healthcare system, the school system, the legal system, so disconnected from it, they'll still get up, right? They'll look right in the camera and say this.
Where I think most Americans also agree is that if you have been in this country 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you've been working, you've not committed crimes, you have children or grandchildren that are American citizens. We want a legal path forward, not...
No. No, we don't. The world of make-believe. Next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. All right, before we get to the world of make-believe, I have to get something off my chest. Chris, Corey, have you guys ever used a rowing machine? You know what a rowing machine is? Have you ever used, you have? You've used one? Did you like it? Do you like the rowing machine? Chris is okay. Corey's okay with it. What? This, that, what? Corey said it's a good warm-up. Okay. All right. So I'm 44. Apparently, your body operates differently at 44 than it does when you're 24. For instance, yesterday, I told you I'm trying to make 2026 healthier. I'm down to a limited amount of time before I have to give blood work, so I'm extra motivated. Yesterday, I lifted legs. I did legs yesterday, legs and arms. So I did, you know, lunges and stuff like that. All right, whatever. A lot of people do that. Woke up today, my left knee was a little stiff. It was a little stiff. No big deal. Little bit of pain, a little stiff. Really, really, honestly, no big concern. So today, I wanted to go on a good ruck, all right? Just throw a little weight on and just go for a real fast walk. That's what I wanted to do. There was, like I said, some stiffness in the left knee. Not a big deal. No big deal. So I go in anyway. Get a good sweat going. Have a nice little ruck. You with me? About halfway through, the knee really loosens up a little bit. I can still feel it. I could. There's something there, but it loosens up a little bit. Feeling good. Picked up the pace. No big deal. As you're listening to the sound of my voice right now, it's what? It's about 7:30 Eastern time. Yeah, my knee doesn't work anymore. At all. So, I told Ob, I wanted her to look and see how much a rowing machine costs. Because I've never looked into a row. Don't shake your head before I finish my story, Chris. You said it's not worth the money. Why? How much do they cost? Too much? I'll get a used one. I don't need a brand new one. I don't need a fancy one. How expensive can they be? It's like a fan and you sit down and you just pull backwards on it. But I have two motivations for this. First, I feel like a rowing machine would be less of an impact on the knee. Second, the last time we went to Waco, Texas. Maybe you've never been to Waco, Texas. Really cool little town. But Waco, Texas. And I was out in the morning, again, on a little ruck. I was going for a walk through. You know I love to walk cities. It's my thing. I don't want to ride around in a cab. I don't want to drive around it. I want to walk it. I want to smell it. I want to walk by. I'm going to get the feel for the city. I'm walking over the bridge. There's a river that goes through Waco. It's the morning before the sun has come up. And I hear these commands from below me on the bridge. And I look down, and it was some sort of a rowing team rowing up the river. I think I want to be a rowing team guy. If I get a rowing machine, that'll be the lead-in to me being on a rowing team. Are you guys checking prices for me? What are we looking at here? 500? How much do I want to spend? 500. I get one for 500? See, that's all. Get a kayak, Chris. I want to be able to do this in my house so I don't have to. I'm not going to go find a river every morning. Can you just focus? I can get one for $500. I feel like this is a good idea. And I put it out to the whole family during the break. This just happened 5 minutes ago. I put it out to the whole family. I sent a picture of a rowing machine and I said, hey, if I buy this, will anyone else use it? Everybody said no. I don't know what, Chris. That's a very good point. Have they ever used a rowing machine? More importantly, why don't I just make them use the rowing machine? What, Chris? What? I could bring it to the office, but hold on. There's a stipulation. If I bring the rowing machine to the office and we all use it, we have to also go out and row up a river in the boat. After we're done training, we could do, listen, a Jesse Kelly Show rowing team. Hear me out. What? You don't need five people. Really? Are there five people in those things? They don't have a three-person smaller one? What about a four? We'll recruit somebody.
We'll find somebody who's really good at it. We'll recruit someone. And then we'll put him in the front so he can't turn around when we get tired. He can carry the team. I'm telling you, there's something to this. I'm going to be a rower. Rower Jesse from now on. I'm already a boat man. Everybody knows that. I love boats. One day, I'm going to stop shopping for them, and I'm going to buy one. I am. Jesse, I distinctly remember during the creation of your secret club that the height cutoff limit was 5'10". Last week, you read an email from the history nerd kid who wants admission to the club at 14 or whatever, and the height limit is 6 feet now? There are plenty of 50-plus studs out there like myself, loaded with chalk, that have been 5'10 their whole lives and can add extreme value to your secret club. Would you reconsider the height limit? He says his name is Kaleo. I didn't realize I had changed the height limit on the secret club from 5'10 to 6 feet. That was an accident. Also, clubs change standards all the time. Normally, they lower standards in order to get more people in the club. But because there have been so many people who've reached out wanting to be part of the club, we decided to raise the standards up. It was 5'10", but now anyone who's below 6 feet, barred from entry. Now, I know what you're thinking, but I was 5'10", and I already got into the club. Your membership is now revoked. You can't be grandfathered in. And here's what happens. It's not that I want to be mean. It's not that I think you're a bad person for being 5'10", for being under 6 feet tall. You're a little effeminate, but you're not a bad person. What? Corey, I didn't mean this directly at you, all right? I understand how you would personalize something like this, but it's not meant directly for you. Anyway, it's not that I'm trying to hurt your feelings. As the, what did we decide my title was, Chris? Lord High Commander or something like that? Something along those lines, something humble. As the Lord High Commander of the Secret Club, I don't have an obligation to you. I have an obligation to the club first. The club has to come first. And so that supersedes, look, that supersedes even me. You know how you shrink when you get older? What if I end up dropping below 6 feet? Now, I'm 6'8", so that would probably mean I lost my legs in a car accident or something, or diabetes or something like that. But what, Chris? I'm just talking about the possibilities that are out there. If I drop below 6 feet, I have to walk away too. It's not just that you are held to this standard. Stop personalizing something that's not meant to be personal. I have to protect the integrity of our secret club that doesn't exist yet. How can it be the club we want it to be if before we've even got off the ground, before we've bought our container ship, before we've set up our headquarters, before Chris has helped us raise money, if I'm already lowering standards on the secret club, what kind of a club would it be? You know what kind? Let me spoil it for you. The kind no one wants to join. It's going to become a carnival cruise where they're running out of fried chicken and there's a new fight every single night. We're not going to go that route in our club. We're not going that route. Standards are going to stay as high as humanly possible. All right? I didn't end up actually getting to any of them using our values against us. I didn't get to the world of make-believe that I had teased beforehand. Just listen. The one exception I may make, people who do take a male vitality stack from chalk, like that guy did, your T levels may be high enough that you can have entry. But here's the problem. Now listen, I'm going to know if you are or aren't taking your chalk. There are going to be regular testosterone checks for the men in the club. If you're on a male vitality stack like I am, you have nothing to worry about it. If you think you're going to kind of dump all that and stay in the club, the blood tests are going to be every single month. 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. If you want a prayer of getting in my club, you have to go to chok.com, C-H-O-Q.com, and use the promo code Jesse. Get a subscription. Find out if you're club worthy. Chok.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. I should probably read this before we get to, well, them, the world of make-believe. Because there's, man, there's such a perfect one out there. I'll get to that in a moment. But this is from Politico. The head of the U.S. Cyber Defense Agency, CISA, by the way, Madhu Gadamukala, uploaded sensitive contracting documents into a public version of ChatGPT, triggering a DHS security review. So we made Madhu Gadamukala the head of our cyber defense. I just can't believe that didn't work out. I'm shocked it did not work out in the end. Now, communists lie about everything all the time. I have a hilarious bit of audio for you. I enjoyed it so much. And it's because of everything that's in it. Remember how many years the communists pushed for cops to be forced to wear body cameras? Remember how many years of it? Every cop should wear a body camera. They sued, they screamed, they yelled, all these racist cops put body cameras on them. And in recent years, we have seen what the cop sees in his body camera. And it's a whole bunch of stuff the communists didn't want us to see at all. We didn't see a bunch of racist, bloodthirsty cops. Don't get me wrong, there are bloodthirsty cops out there. There are certainly bad cop shoots out there, no question about that. Cops will tell you that. But we didn't see a bunch of racist, dirty cops out there. In fact, what we have seen, especially in recent years, are violent, mentally ill people charging at cops, essentially forcing them to gun them down. We've seen it time and time and time again. Now listen, just listen to this gloriousness.
And so they totally shifted, and then they were able to get hundreds of millions of dollars toward their goal of outfitting every single cop in the United States with a mobile surveillance camera that the police control. They control when it's on, when it's off, what it captures, when something is captured, is released to the public. So body cameras are a mirage. And as I write in the Copaganda book, and this is, it's really critical to understand exactly how it happens, not only do they not reduce police violence, but they have been an essential propaganda tool in convincing so many well-meaning people across our society that the authorities care about police violence, that they want accountability, that they're doing something, right? And it distracts people from the core important kinds of changes that we need, which is to reduce the size and power of these bureaucracies.
Why are people watching these videos? We're going to expose these cops. Oh, no. You're actually watching the video? This sucks. Sometimes communists, know how we talked about how they build a world of make-believe? It's the world your liberal Aunt Peggy lives in. They build it and they maintain it, but so many of them live there themselves and they don't want to break out either. And you can live in that world of make-believe so long that you eventually think it's real. That's a thing. It's a real thing. There's a psychology to it. And this is the problem with lying about everything all the time. Communists lie about everything all the time. And almost every, actually, I'll say every single pathological liar I have ever known in my entire life believed their lies to some extent. They got so comfortable with lying, they eventually believed it. You want to hear one of the latest ones? It's amazing. This is from the Senate Judiciary Committee, the Democrats, I mean. the Senate Judiciary Democrats. Anadith Dane Reyes Alvarez died in government custody. You should see the picture of this adorable little girl. She had sickle cell and congenital heart disease, but couldn't access timely and adequate medical care. We need reform immigration detention. You know when she died? 2023. Donald Trump was a civilian. Joe Biden was president. It's not that they tell little lies. They tell gigantic lies, big ones, all the time, to such an extent they themselves will come to believe them. Here's Angie Craig, Representative Angie Craig, Minnesota.
So now ICE is using a five-year-old boy. A five-year-old boy. They took him and used him to lure his father out. And now they've detained.
Remember, the father escaped and left his five-year-old boy behind. The father knew he was going to be apprehended. This is the real, it's documented. It's the real story. The five-year-old boy was with his father. The father saw the feds closing in freezing cold Minnesota. They left the boy behind. He left the boy behind. ICE took him in, of course, and cared for him. Listen to this.
So now ICE is using a five-year-old boy. A five-year-old boy. They took him and used him to lure his father out. And now they've detained them both. The family doesn't know where they are. This is the worst of the damn worst. This is not humanity in Minnesota, folks. If you can look at this five-year-old and actually with a straight face still support and be silent in the face of what the Trump administration and Kristi Noem is doing, I just can't even believe this is America. If this doesn't pierce through your humanity as a Republican member of Congress, you can't speak out about this, then you've got no humanity left.
They just lie. Words are just weapons. They don't shade the truth. It's not a little twisting here, a little twisting there. They just lie about everything all the time, and they end up themselves being trapped in the world of make-believe they create. It's quite crazy to watch it. All right, we are going to get to H-1Bs. We're going to get to what happened in Georgia with this election raid. We're going to get to emails using your values against you and more next hour.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.